Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 High FM, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. Nikki Seberini here with you. Boy, do we have a fascinating, wonderful show lined up for you. Our first guest is really such an inspiring story, all about defying the odds, kind of turning your life around and taking control over things that we feel we have very little control over at times when we have an awful diagnosis. So Lisa Truter will be joining us in a moment. And then I'm also really excited to be chatting once again with Sarah Bullen, who's a multi-published author and a writing coach. I last spoke to her a year or two ago about her book Love and Above. And she's just written a book called The Other Side, where she really looks into near-death experiences, what happens to the mind, what happens to the soul, the journey of the soul. And really, that's going to be really interesting. So what a show we have lined up for you. So don't you go anywhere. However, if you do have to dip out, if for any reason you can't listen to the whole show, just remember that we do podcast the show from tomorrow. It should be on the Chai FM website. But let's start off with defying the odds. Lisa Truter, a liver cancer warrior. Welcome. So wonderful to have you on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, I mean, we're in December. I think October is Liver Cancer Month, Lisa, and you have quite an extraordinary story. You live here in Gauteng with your husband, two children, three grandchildren, and here we are in 2024, but let's go all the way back to 2014. Maybe you can just tell us what happened on that day when you stretched and you felt like something inside of you had torn.
It was quite late at evening. We'd driven off somewhere and it was also quite warm already. My husband had gotten out of a car to go and get something, and I actually stretched. And at that point in time, I felt like something had torn. I had no idea what it was, but I was in excruciating pain. Got me home. I was battling to breathe. And then obviously said, okay, well, we'll pop off to the doc the next morning. We didn't go to the doc the next morning because it had seemed to have eased slightly. But my husband, being a nutritionist, said to me, well, if it's a stomach ulcer, if you eat anything spicy, it will burn. Or if it's gallbladder, if you eat anything fatty, it will also hurt. Tried both, nothing happened. His conclusion was that I'd actually torn a stomach muscle. And then by the Sunday, it actually got quite bad. I couldn't breathe at all. And went off to the doc. Obviously, then sent me for a sonar and blood tests. They first diagnosed me with a stomach ulcer, gave me medication for that. And when the results came back from the sonar, I was sitting with about a 7.5 centimeter tumor that was cancerous. To me, that was like receiving a death sentence. Started crying, said it was impossible because I'm not a smoker, I'm not overweight, and I don't drink or anything like that. So this was quite a shock to all of us. Went and saw the professor who operated on me on the Wednesday and said to me, this is an emergency. We're operating as soon as possible because the tumor had actually torn inwards. He said to me, if the tumor had torn outwards, I wouldn't have lived for very long.
Wow.
So a week later, they did. They removed the gallbladder and then 30% of my liver. They obviously, when they operate, they do like what they call a shaving. So they shave it, and then the laboratory stands by and they test as they go along to make sure that where they're shaving the liver, is then the tumor cells are removed. He said to me, they removed everything. I was fine. I could go home a week later, which I did, and it was all fine. No problems. I wasn't ill. I wasn't ill at all. I never had any symptoms of it. Normally when your liver is affected, obviously you have like jaundice. You yellow, the eyes start yellowing. I had nothing like that. He tested for hepatitis, the normal tests. They couldn't find out, and it was primary liver cancer. They couldn't find out what had caused it.
Wow. So, Lisa, just going back to, I mean, you talk about the shaving. It's quite interesting. So they just keep shaving off layers until they reach the layer where there are no cancer cells. So that was 30% of your liver that had been removed. Two questions. Did they insist that you needed any other treatment just to be sure? And did you feel a difference having 30% less of your liver?
He did say that they could not do radiation or chemo. They couldn't give me any of the normal kinds of treatments. No, I didn't really feel any difference in that respect. I think the only aspect that did affect it is like anybody else that has their gallbladder removed is they can't eat very oily or fatty foods because then you do slightly feel nauseous from it or you feel a bit bloated. That was the only thing I had.
So basically they said, all clear, next checkup in 6 months' time. And then a year later, March 2015, you had an MRI and it showed that you had several tumors in the remaining section of your liver. Why couldn't they, after that operation, why couldn't they? I mean, I'm just thinking about sometimes we've heard of people who have gone in for surgery and then they go in for chemotherapy or radiotherapy just to make sure that everything has been removed.
He actually explained to me that the chemotherapy wouldn't work. He said it would have no effect whatsoever.
I see. So a year later, tell us.
I said what the medical reason therefore is, I have no idea. But as I said, he just said that chemotherapy wouldn't work. It would have no effect whatsoever.
And so what happened a year later when you after the MRI, you saw several tumors in the liver?
That was actually, once again, quite frightening because one tends to think when the doctors say, oh, you're fine, you're okay, off you go, that, you know, you're okay. And then, as I said, with the seven, with the reoccurrence of it and the tumors coming back, he said to me, look, we're going to have to operate again and we'll go through the same procedure and see what we can cut out where. They then removed 70% of the liver. All they left me with was a piece of about a chicken's egg around the ducts. So in other words, the ones that go from the pancreas and that sort of thing that go into the stomach area, I had those. That's all they left me with, and there were still tumors in that piece that they had left in there. When I came out of theatre and he spoke to my hubby, he said to my hubby, look, we've done everything medically and humanly possible for her. There's nothing else we can do. It's take her home, make her comfortable, take her on holiday. Maybe 4 months, maybe 6 months, max she'll survive.
Wow. Wow, wow. That's pretty frightening, Lisa. So with that kind of prognosis and that's what the doctor telling you, you went home with a tiny little bit of your liver. And how were you feeling at that time? I mean, having been told that by your doctor, what was going through your mind?
My husband was quite adamant that this wasn't going to happen. In fact, my then son-in-law turned around to the doctor and said, you don't know my mother-in-law. She's not going to go lying down. So I changed my entire diet, because then one has to teach the liver to re-metabolize. So I lost from 60 kilos, I went down to 45 kilos in weight, and then changed my entire way of life, my way of eating, what I ate, when I ate. I ate about 5 meals a day, and then only ate certain foods, mainly organic. I didn't eat stuff that had been treated, because a lot of your fruits and vegetables, meat is injected with hormones. And because the way they explained it to me, the AFP, which is your alpha fetal protein, is a hormonal-based cancer count. So anything related to hormones will will make it worse or create it even more. So I avoided anything that would have hormones. So from milk to meat to soy to anything like that, I stayed away from, because it all affects the hormone levels in your body. So I ate chicken salad for lunch, fish with salad for supper, and next day I would have fish and salad for lunch and chicken and salad for dinner for about a year.
Wow. So no alcohol, no sugar, no delightful, nothing. Delicious things. You took this very, very seriously. No salt, tea, coffee, yes, nothing like that. Nothing like that. And I just want to ask you, Lisa, so I mean, it started off with 30% that you had removed, then you had a huge chunk removed. But I know that the liver can regrow or replenish, or can you just expand on that? And is that what happened to you?
Yes, that's what happened to me. So if they do an MRI on me, most people, their liver sits across the abdomen. I only have a piece on the right-hand side. So they remove the entire, what they call, left hemisphere, because you've got a membrane between the two sections. Although it's one organ, there's a membrane in the middle. So from the membrane to the left, I have no liver. I only have the one piece on the one side. Mm. And then what they explained to me is it doesn't grow like a lizard's tail. What happens is one cell becomes the size of two original cells, or two cells become the size of four cells. So it enlarges, but it doesn't actually regrow.
Let's see. Wow. Absolutely fascinating. And before we go to, the amazing improvement in just 6 months, I also read that besides no meat, no bread, no coffee, no all of that, you also changed to spices. And I know that with Ayurveda way of eating and medicine, and that's more the Indian way, the spices are very, very important, how you spice your food. Was that an influence? What do you mean by you change spices? I know your husband is a nutritionist, so he brought all of his wealth of knowledge, but maybe you can expand on that. Yep.
What we did is I went over to natural spices. All your spices are natural. But the thing is, a lot of the products that we buy are mixed. So if you use salt, go to Himalayan salt, or you get a product like a herbal salt, which is a mixture of herbs and salt. If you're using turmeric, use organic turmeric. Cinnamon, you can get the organic one as well. So everything there, I went over to the organic side. Instead of buying your normal brands in the shops, because if you look at the packaging, I found that they always had a combination of stuff in that package.
And I know no MSG, but carry on about the spices. I want to, do you just add it willy-nilly, or were you very specific about the kind of spices that you used?
No, not really specific. I mean, obviously, like if you were making a curry, you'd use your turmeric and ginger and things like that. But I would, if you were cooking normal meals, you'd use a bit of garlic and parsley, all the natural stuff there, rosemary, that sort of thing you would put into your food instead of using like this. You get like mixtures, they would say, whatever it is, it's a braai spice. And if you actually have a look in there, there's, quite a few mixtures of stuff. MSG I stayed away from, because that is just a flavor enhancer. And it doesn't really, it just makes the food to actually taste better, but it's not actually very good for you.
And during that time, so you dropped a lot of weight, you changed the way you were eating, and took on a whole exercise regime. And I'm wondering how you were feeling with such a no gallbladder, a small little liver. Now you're losing all of this weight. You've changed the way you're eating. How was the exercise for you? Did you have the energy? What kind of exercise did you focus on?
I just did a lot of walking and a lot of deep breathing. I didn't really go to gym or yoga or something like that, because Unfortunately, we don't get much oxygen in normal breathing at the moment. That's one of the other things I did was you get on the market, there are products which is liquid oxygen. There are various brands of it. So what I did was I drank that as well so that I would actually get more oxygen internally, which then feeds the body through the blood vessels and things like that. Because the amount of oxygen we basically have on Earth now is a lot less than what we had years ago, and it's depleting yearly. So even if by deep breathing, you would maybe get a bit more oxygen in, because we all tend to do a bit of shallow breathing. We don't really breathe very deeply. But then, as I said, the other thing I also did was I took in products like liquid oxygen. And I had enough energy. Funny enough, that was the odd thing about the whole situation. Because a lot of people say to me, aren't you ill? How do you feel? I didn't really feel any different to before the operations. It was just more a question of, I knew it in my mind that I was ill, but my body didn't feel ill. And then obviously, I think the different way of eating, I didn't do a lot of fruits because fruits are high in sugar. So I would take in, I ate bananas. I ate bananas that were slightly green because then the sugar content is not so high. So that I did eat to get a bit of sugar in. But other than that, I didn't eat sugar at all. I went on to like stevia products or then a bit of honey.
Amazing. And within 6 months, your AFP tumor marker had dropped quite significantly, and scans to your brain and lungs showed no spread. So, and another 6 months, you had gone down. I mean, that's just unbelievable. What were the doctors, the doctor who told your husband to take you home and take you on holiday and give you a restful, wonderful time until you passed quietly into the night? What did this doctor say?
Well, to be honest, he's actually said he has no explanation. He operates in South Africa, operates in the States and in the UK. He took my file with him to the States, and even the doctors there said they had absolutely no explanation as to what had happened. They actually don't know what caused it. His surmising what had happened is I was involved in a car accident 40-odd years ago. The night my son was actually born, the car was rolled, and they were so concerned with me being pregnant that they then thought that the liver had torn, but nobody had actually checked it. And he says that over the years, because it had now sort of regrown, it had caused obviously a tumor, and he said that was the only explanation he could give as to why it was gone, if we can put it that way. He didn't have an explanation to either. He said in all his years that he has operated, he hasn't seen it or heard of it.
Unbelievable and just amazing. Yeah. So 10 years later, here you are. Yeah. How are you? How do you feel? Are you still so strict when it comes to your diet? How's it changed your life?
I'm fine. I'm well. I'm healthy. I actually went for checkups about 2 weeks ago because every year they do a scan just to make sure and then do the bloods and all that. And those were all came back all negative and all normal. My doc's comments were, you're like a 20-year-old again. So I was quite impressed with that. And I actually had a bit of a chuckle because the lady who was doing the sonar, we just said I'd been in for a liver resection, but we hadn't said what. And she was busy with the sonar for quite a while. And I said to her, I'm sorry, can I help? Is there something wrong? And she said, no, I can't find the left side of your liver. And I said to her, that's because I don't have one. So we had a bit of a laugh about that. but other than that, I'm fine and well. In regards to my diet, well, I am strict still. I still don't use certain products. And I try and buy free range meat and that sort of thing, or I buy hormone-free milk if I use that. But I do often, not often, but every now and again will indulge and have half a slab of chocolate. Sweetness is my weakness. So my biggest thing of changing was my tea and sugar and a packet of cookies a day.
Yeah.
I had to let go of all of that. So, I'm not as strict now as what I was, but I still don't eat what I used to eat. I still watch what we eat and that sort of thing.
Just amazing story, Lisa. I mean, for you, you know, you must be so grateful, really. I mean, as you say, with that kind of prognosis from 10 years ago, and here you are, you've certainly defied the odds. Before we say goodbye, what do you think your greatest lesson, your greatest learning has been over the past 10 years?
I think my biggest lesson is, I must be honest, my faith has, you know, a lot of people say when you only, your faith becomes stronger when you're in trouble, and which is actually not incorrect. It should be strong at all times. And I think that's one of the lessons I have learned is my faith has, it's not strong only when I need it. It's there on a permanent basis. But yes, I think I've learned just to appreciate life a bit more. I'm blessed in many ways, and just be appreciative of all of that. I mean, one tends to, you know, stop and smell the roses. A lot of people think that, you know, just carry on. I must be honest, I had a lot of support. My kids were there. My friends, my husband was there. I didn't really tell people that I was ill. The only people who knew I was ill was my closest family. And people often say to me afterwards, why didn't you tell people? And the reason I didn't tell people was because people are inclined, because it's cancer, to be extremely negative. They also just tap you on the shoulder and say, shame, how long has the doctor given you to live? And that's one of the things that I think people need to know is, don't do that to people. You know, don't be negative, because they're already negative as it is having had that diagnosis and that news. Be positive with people. You know, how are you doing? What can I do to support you? Do you need help anyway? Don't automatically assume that somebody's not going to make it.
Yeah, so true. So true. Lisa, just amazing. Thank you. What a story. What a fabulous story. And I think for people who are listening, hugely inspiring. And I think that a lot of stress is on how you really took your health into your own hands, and really watching what you were eating and your exercising and your oxygen intake and all of that. So I think that's really an important message. Thank you so much for joining us. All the very, very, very best to only the best in health.
Again, you guys too. And thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Take care. Thank you. Lisa Truter, a liver cancer warrior, sharing the story. 2014, you know, diagnosed with liver cancer. And in 2024, she's clear. And that's a wonderfully inspiring story.